there such a thing?
No, that's not how it works. I mean, TV tried to write them characters all the time.
You know, like Gru, you know.
Gru. Despicable Me.
Yeah, but I never got to the end of that movie. I watched it on a
plane. That's on you, that's not on us.
It's on whatever plane I was on. I missed the last 20 minutes, so I don't know what happens. And I've never watched it since. I presume he becomes nice.
He does, he's wonderful. Yeah.
But is he nice in like the next
two movies? Yeah. He fights villains in the next two.
Happy endings. Okay.
Ish.
So what to do?
I can't really take him seriously though, because after watching The Office and watching Michael Steve be like Carell. Greek and whatever, and then like it's basically the same accent, so
yeah. Little girls.
Yeah.
Welcome to episode 45 of our 50 Reasons to Visit Ireland from Crystal Travel and Tours in Boston. My name is Caitlin, and I lived outside of Belfast for about 5 months back in 2012.
And my name is Joe, and I lived in Ireland for most of my life.
We've made it our mission this year to give you a new reason each week to go to Ireland.
We've focused on various themes, and within those themes, we're counting up from 1 to 50. Today, reason 5 is for the hidden gems.
Woo! Yeah. And sitting with us is a hidden gem that I came across when I was in Ireland. We have a special guest with us today. You may have heard me mention the wonderful friends I made back when I was studying abroad. One of them is right here. He happens to be our most avid listener as well. So we are so excited to welcome my dear friend Josh to 50 Reasons this morning.
Hi, you guys.
Hello, hello, hello.
This is the guy that sets the alarm to listen to the podcast every week, right?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
He's given us a 5-star rating, which everybody else should as well. You should, what would Josh do?
Yes.
WWJD. Yes.
Not to be confused with WWJD for what would Joe do?
Wow.
Because that's two very different
things. Wow, look at you. Yes, yes. No, he's just wonderful. And every time I talk about him, I just go, he's just wonderful. And I just can't even,
Nobody can see you do that, though.
We need to film. I'm telling you,
we need to do a video.
Okay, anyway, so, Josh.
Yes.
You're great, and you studied in Ireland. Can you tell us a little bit, just a brief overview about your experience, and then we'll dive into some hidden gems here.
Yeah, absolutely. So, like you, I studied at the University of Ulster. However, instead of Jordanstown, I was in Belfast on their campus. So, that was where all the arts and architecture and ceramics and jewelry making, all the artsy stuff was. I kind of met you when I was actually late to orientation because I totally didn't know how public transportation worked. So I kind of missed like the first 3 buses to Jordanstown. So yeah. And then I got to campus and I was like, I don't know this campus. And then I got lost and then finally found somebody. And they're like, oh, you go through here and you go through here. And long story short, I ended up spending about 2 hours wandering the halls. Mm. And then I finally stumbled into the room. So, yeah, that's kind of how we met, because I sat down beside her because it was the only open seat.
No one wanted to sit next to me.
You can't sit here.
You can't sit with us, but yeah. Josh can sit with us, right?
Fair enough.
Right?
Fair
there you enough. Go. Well, thank you for sharing that with us.
You're welcome.
I'm so happy to have you here.
Is Josh going to be doing anything else in the podcast today?
He might be. Perhaps. Yeah. Don't give too much away.
But listen to the end.
But listen. Oh, yes. Listen, listen. So, we've talked a lot about the most iconic and well-known places of interest in Ireland over the course of this podcast. But now, we want to highlight the spots fewer people have heard about. We've covered a lot of Ireland's most beautiful scenic places, of course, but one you may not be as familiar with is Downpatrick Head in County Mayo. This is located along Ireland's Wild Atlantic Way. Downpatrick Head is just a few miles north of Ballycastle Village. It's the perfect place to take a walk with an amazing view of Ireland's west coast. So here's a question. Where do you guys think the name Downpatrick could have possibly come from?
Downpatrick.
Ireland. Patrick.
I know.
Jeez.
Who could ever think?
It must be the down part that I should be focusing
on. You know what? You hit the nail on the head. And St. Patrick himself founded a church here. Today, you can still see the church's ruins with a stone cross and a holy well. On the last Sunday of July, crowds gather in Downpatrick to hear Mass on what's known as Garland Sunday. This is an annual day of pilgrimage in Ireland. You might look at pictures of this place and think, oh, that's got to be near the Cliffs of Moher, no doubt about it. Well, I'll have you know, you would be wrong. It's actually about 3.5 hours north of the cliffs. That said, you can definitely see both spots and more during some Wild Atlantic Way exploring. When you take a look out into the sea, you'll see a lone sea stack standing close to the edge of the cliffs. This is called Dunbrist.
Dunbrista. And the reason I know that is because I actually know what Brista means. I know you have it in translation later, but I actually was able to translate that myself.
Wow, look at you. You must feel pretty good about yourself right now.
I do.
Dunbrista. Yeah? Brista? Brista.
Brista.
Brista. Dunbrista. Or Broken Fort.
The H is invisible.
Of course it is. Of course. That makes so much sense. Yes. According to legend, a pagan chieftain refused to convert to Christianity, and St. Patrick struck the ground with his crozier, splitting a chunk of the headland off into the ocean. So he went...
Is crozier a word you knew before this?
No.
You got it right.
Thank you. Yeah. No, I don't have a crozier.
It's like a shepherd's crook.
A staff. Mm-hmm. I kind of figured.
But there's got to be a thing at the end that you can throw it out and catch the sheep by the neck or by the leg.
That's
usually the leg.
Yeah,
that sounds more humane, right?
It does.
Just a little bit.
Let's go with that. Yeah. So he's got his crozier and he's split.
You shall not. Pass.
That's exactly what happened. Yes, and when he did that, yes, he split a chunk of the headland off into the ocean, all while the chieftain was standing on that chunk. This is one of those jagged-looking cliffs that is just gorgeous to see. So, of course, you've got the mainland, you've got beautiful, beautiful water, you've got the Atlantic, and then you've got this chunk of land that supposedly this pagan was stuck there. Sad story, kind of, right?
You say supposedly, but St. Patrick took the snakes out of Ireland. He was able to fast for 40 days and 40 nights. Why wouldn't he be able to do this?
Have I offended you?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
I know, I'm always doing that on 50 Reasons. So you look out and you see waves thrashing upon this beautiful, beautiful piece of land. It's very much iconically Ireland. Downpatrick Head was also a lookout post during World War II, and you can still see the stone building there today. Have you seen Downpatrick, Joe? I feel like I always get to this moment.
You always,
have you been there?
You always
have
ask you the it? Wrong ones. Always. No, I haven't been there.
No.
No, it's really up in the corner of Mayo. No, it is, I think, next on my list in Ireland, because I have done the Wild Atlantic Way now from Killarney all the way up to Achill Island.
Okay.
And I've done it from Enniscrone all the way up to Donegal Town.
I see.
So there's only a little chunk in between, and that's where Downpatrick Head is.
Okay.
Once I'm done, I'll be done from Killarney all the way to Donegal, and I'll even have quite a bit more of Donegal done after that. So I've only a few little chunks left to fill in for myself on the Wild Atlantic
Way. You're doing pretty well for yourself, right?
I am.
Mm-hmm. So another really beautiful hidden gem in Ireland is Slieve League Cliffs in County Donegal.
And we should definitely have spoken before doing this episode, because I haven't been here either. This is, again, I've been up as far as Donegal Town, and I've been from Donegal Airport all the way up to Inishowen Peninsula, and Slieve League is just way out there. So I just didn't make it there
well
yet.
I have a feeling we'll talk about some places you've been to, so don't
yes.
worry. These cliffs swoop down from the mountain of Slieve League, of course, and are among the highest sea cliffs in Europe. If you were to be at the very highest point of the cliffs, the Atlantic Ocean would be nearly 2,000 feet below you.
Do you remember, Caitlin, how high the Cliffs of Moher are?
I don't.
You don't. You
Do
don't,
you remember?
I'm terrible with numbers, so...
Do you guys even listen to this
there's
podcast?
There's a something, there's like a one at the end.
A two at the end.
And that two makes all the difference.
702
I was going to say
feet.
Seven something.
I was going to say 800 and something.
Seven
so,
something.
Yeah.
So Slieve League Cliffs are almost three times as high as...
You should have read this script, Joe. Yeah, because I go over that. I'm about to talk about that.
There you go.
But that's okay. Thanks for stealing my thunder.
It just goes to show how smart I am. I didn't do the research, and I still knew better and with facts.
Wow. At the cliffs, you'll find the Slieve League Cliffs Center. This is a family-run center packed with local history and culture. It's a great place to stock up on souvenirs like locally made knitwear and artworks. You may even hear traditional Irish music in a session. Now, speaking of the Cliffs of Moher, the Sleeve League Cliffs are actually, I know you didn't know this, Joe, they are about three times as tall as the, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
His
mind's blown.
Stunned to silence. If only I could remember what height the Cliffs of Moher are to...
If only you knew, right? From certain points of Sleeve League, when the weather is decent, of course, you can see all the way across to Sligo and Leitrim. Only experienced walkers should venture beyond the point up to what's called One Man's Pass, which loops around and onto the Pilgrim's Path. I like these little names. Yeah. One Man's Pass, Pilgrim's Path.
Of course you do.
There will be a Caitlin path one day.
Well, you have to start taking some actual walking paths first.
Yeah, you have to, like...
should be active to
bother,
do that.
You know? Yeah.
I work out intermittently. Okay, so others should stick to a gentler route and take the pathway from Bunglas to Malinbeg. That would probably be more up our route, right, guys?
Yeah.
The remains of an early Christian monastic site exist on the high slopes of Sleeve League. Ancient stone remains also suggest that this was once a site of pilgrimage, even before the arrival of Christianity. Now, at Carrigan Head, you guys, which you pass on the way to the area's main viewing area, there's a signal tower. This was built in the early 19th century to watch for a possible French invasion. Dun, dun, dun! Close to that viewing area, you'll see stones, which marked out the word air as a navigation aid for aircraft during World War II.
And that word is era, rather than air, because that's how you pronounce era in Irish, Ireland in Irish.
That's cool.
Because otherwise people listening would say, why are they spelling out A-I-R? What the hell does that mean?
Oh, era. Okay, all right. Yes, so there's that.
Yep.
Excellent.
You guys are fascinated.
I was talking to a man this weekend.
Oh, were you?
Because as I like to do, I like to boast about where I've been at the weekend. I was in Atlanta.
Of course he does.
At the Stone Mountain Highland Games. And it was a lot of fun. It was a really...
Joe loves bagpipes.
Silly, ridiculous event.
Right?
Yeah, they're haunting my nightmares at the moment. The tent we were in, so we had a stall, and we were trying to sell Ireland, and Northern Ireland mainly, to people with Scottish heritage. We were trying to sell as much of Ireland as we could to them. And there was a bagpiping event, or competition, and the bagpipers... had a warm-up area almost inside our tent.
Yeah, like right there with
you. It was just beautiful because you were trying to talk to somebody and then you'd have to yell to yell over the bagpipes and then they'd stop all of a sudden and you're really loud and it was awful. And
I'm sorry.
And then they'd start and you just kind of stop and look annoyed, look at the bagpipes, look at the person in front of you who you're trying to, you know, coax into going to Ireland.
Have a discussion.
And they're like, okay, bye, I'm not staying here for this. So
wow.
That was pretty. But anyway, there was a guy there who runs tours along the Causeway Coast, and every time somebody said that they wanted to go see the Cliffs of Moher, he would say, let me tell you where you should go instead. Mm. And Sleeve League, because he loves them. So, yeah.
Interesting.
So there you go.
Interesting. What would you recommend, do you think, if someone had to choose between one or the other?
Look, the cliffs are iconic. Everybody should go there. But if you get the chance to go up to Donegal at all, I can't say I haven't witnessed Sleeve League in person. But they're on my list.
Yeah,
and I would recommend anybody go to Donegal because I think it's a really, really great county in general for everything.
Okay. Well, moving on to the... northern half, Northern Ireland, to be more specific, you've got Mussenden Temple. This celebrated library is on a cliff that stands 120 feet high above the Atlantic Ocean, and it offers incredible views over Downhill Strand. This temple was built as a gift from Frederick Augustus Hervey to his cousin, you guys. I don't know if it's Friedswide or Friedswide. What do you think?
Frides.
Frideswide? Frederick and Frideswide. Freddy and Fridie.
Power couple, right?
Yeah. Freddy and Fridie. Well, power cousins, but yeah, power couple. They are.
Still a power couple.
His cousin. Yeah. So we've got Frederick Augustus Hervey giving this beautiful temple to Frideswide Mussenden. Some say the two were far too close. Bit of a close for
master thing going on there.
You got it. When Frederick and his wife were on the outs, he would go stay with Frideswide, or his share cousin, as he was known to call her. Frederick was said to be quite the ladies' man, or the English Casanova. There's a section on the Mussenden Temple's website dedicated to him, and one of the parts is titled What Society Said About the Earl Bishop, because he was an earl. Mm-hmm. So this just kind of made me laugh. So you've got the most abominable, wicked old fellow. And then the next one, a most excellent companion, pleasant, intelligent, well-read. And then...
written by Frederick himself.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Then his own daughter called him a cruel man. Nice. So, yeah, you've got that. Hopefully someone will have better things to say about me
one
day.
One day.
Hopefully they won't call me a cruel man either. I would also prefer that. So, now, Frederick gave her, his cousin, of course, this temple as a wedding gift when she married an elderly banker named Daniel Mussenden. Poor Daniel probably was just so naive, didn't know, thinks he's got this great gal and shacking up
Danny
with her cousin.
Boy.
Oh, Danny boy. Frederick is calling. How about that? You like that?
No.
He does. He does.
Sorry.
He, secretly, below the surface. So the newspapers reported that these cousins had a relationship that was less than appropriate, and it's said to have affected Frideswide's health. While there isn't any proof, it may have contributed to her early death, sadly. Today, the temple stands as a memorial after she passed back in 1785. So there's that story for you. Not the happiest of endings, right?
No ending is happy except for a fairy tale. Life is miserable
and then
pain
you die.
And death.
And then you die.
Let's cut that out.
Why?
Oh, okay, we're just being real this morning.
We are being so real. We are real. This Josh is here. We're being real.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Game of Thrones fans may recognize this as where Melisandre burned the old gods on Dragonstone.
And that was on the beach below with the Mussenden and whatever else as the backdrop.
Downhill Strand, yes. Chronicles of Narnia fans will appreciate this place, too. It's said that C.S. Lewis got a lot of inspiration from Downhill. He used to holiday in Castle Rock, which is a small town within walking distance from the beach. Hmm. When you're at the temple, you can gaze over the cliff and see the downhill beach.
Wow.
I want to go there. I have not been there.
This, I would definitely honestly consider a hidden gem. I only knew about it because of the Game of Thrones connection, but I didn't realize that there was just like this huge structure up there that you cannot see, and you have to walk through basically a farmer's field to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And Stefan Manuel had the same experience through the photographers we sent over and listened a couple of episodes ago. They had the same experience with it as well. A local B&B owner told them they should go there to take photos, and they were pleasantly surprised, and the photos that came from that are stunning as well.
That's awesome. Moving on from scenery, we've got some more gems for you. People of Ireland are no strangers to hard work, and with hard work comes a story. One of those stories is told at the Bleak Pottery Visitor Center, of course, in Northern Ireland. It has a lot more to it than meets the eye. Established in 1857, this is a museum that showcases Irish craftsmanship at its finest. Its factory produces porcelain that is known for its thinness and slightly iridescent surface. The area's history of pottery work began back in 1849, when John Caldwell Bloomfield inherited his father's estate. Well, this guy John had a bit of an issue. He needed a way to find employment for his tenants who were affected by the Irish potato famine.
Ever heard of this?
I don't know. Doesn't ring a bell.
Not ringing any
bells. Does not ring a bell. What to do? Well, he looked to his strengths and what he knew. John was an amateur mineralogist. I want to say mineralogist, but that's not it.
Looks like mineralogist to me. Mineralogist.
Mineralogist. Bleh. John was very experienced with minerals. He ordered a geological survey of his newly inherited land.
Now I'm just imagining him as Hank from Breaking Bad, so...
Oh my gosh, yes. Lo and behold, the results showed the area was rich in minerals that would make it perfect for, you got it, a pottery business. He managed to get a railway line built to Bleak to get coal delivered for firing kilns. Originally, Balik produced domestic products. Then, in 1863, Parian porcelain, which Balik is famous for today, was created. In 1865, Balik was a prestigious company with a market that included Australia, Canada, England, Ireland, and the U.S. We've got 50 reasons to visit Ireland, one reason to visit England. If you go to the Royal Victoria and Albert Museum, you'll find a painting called Innocence. This painting features a young mother and her child. Its canvas? A Balik plate. A man named Eugene Sheeran worked as an artist at Balik Pottery in the 19th century.
Interesting note, Ed Sheeran's grandfather.
I was thinking that.
Yeah, it wasn't.
I know, but I was thinking that. Let's go with that, though. I like that. I like to believe. Guided tours at the Balik Pottery Visitor Center cover all production areas and take about half an hour. They offer guests the chance to meet and chat with craftspeople. You'll also find the Balik Tea Room here. Food is served here on Balik tableware, of course. And as you eat, you'll overlook the River Earn. There's a video I discovered showing behind-the-scenes stuff for Balik Pottery, and I'm amazed at the sheer detail and time that goes into making these beautiful pieces of art. You see these people working on, they've got small bits of clay in their hands, and they're pinching, and all of a sudden, the next frame of the video is this ornate, detailed-looking flower, and the time that must go into it. I'm fascinated. We should also mention that 2017 is Balik Pottery's 160th anniversary. Happy anniversary to you.
Yeah.
Now, last year, some members of our Crystal Travel team had the pleasure of visiting Balik, didn't they, Joe?
We did. If you know me, or if you've listened to what I talk about, I like to drive on, like, jagged cliffs and look down and see the cool, scary water or the jagged cliffs or whatever below. I like to take tours that are funny but informative. I like to go to new style museums that are, you know, cool and have interesting visuals and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to go to bars and try new stuff. So Balik Pottery did not at all appeal to me at all as a thing that we were doing on a trip at all. I was like, yeah, I'll do it, but whatever. But I honestly came out of it fascinated by the process, and I was immersed in the whole thing as we went through, because it's so different to any other kind of tour you'll do, in that they literally take you onto the factory floor and you stand in front of somebody's work desk while they are working and you watch them work, and then you can ask them questions if they want. But they could be like painting, or they could be sculpting or sculpt, you know, there's just loads of things they could be doing, and they show you each process as it goes through. And I also got to smash up some pottery as well, which was nice, because some of them are, if they're even in the slightest bit off or wrong or whatever, because they go to like through quality control, and if there's any ding, mark, smudge, anything that makes them not perfect, smashy smashy bye bye.
Oh.
So I got to smash them, which was pretty
bye
cool.
Bye
as
well.
Yes,
yeah.
Said smashy
awesome.
Smashy bye bye.
I could see you liking going there.
Yeah,
that would
I
be
totally would.
Kind of wishing we did. We lived
yeah.
in Northern Ireland. What do you know?
Really?
Do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Know, right?
What did
yep.
we even do?
I think we're gonna have to start a new series of.
Did she really?
Did they really? Even?
But did
yeah.
did they though? Exactly.
Well, I did walk up the cliff that she
did.
So
good job.
Yeah. He did, and I was Skyping with.
But you didn't miss out, because it was snowing and we were getting pelted by sleet. So.
That was the day it snowed. It
was
sunny and it was hailing
mm-hmm.
and then it started snowing.
For those of you with your beautiful mind shack that are trying to piece together what Caitlin did every day while she was there, that should help with
you. There you go. Now get to work. So moving on, you've got the Arigna mining experience in Roscommon. Coal life was big in the Arigna Valley from the 1700s until its closure in 1990. Quite the time span there, quite the time frame. Now, it's important to note that these weren't typical coal mines. They were small by the standard of most industrialized countries. Men often had to lie on their backs in water using a hand pick or short handle shovel to get their job done. Can you imagine how uncomfortable that would be? They would remain like this until the very end of the day, when they would come back to the surface after doing their job long after sunset. So they'd probably go down to these mines in the very beginning of the morning, maybe a little bit of sunlight, come back up, and just, that would be awful. At the pit of the entrance, there was a picture of the Sacred Heart. Coal miners would bless themselves before going underground. Strangers who have visited this place in the past, back when the mines were active, would often find the experience so frightening they wouldn't even manage to get past the picture. They would go back up. The Energy Center provides visitors with a unique insight into what coal mining life was like in the Arigna Valley. You can take an underground tour, which lasts about 45 minutes. On that tour, you'll get a feel of what it was like to work in some of the narrowest coal seams in the Western world. Visitors will see demonstrations as well as check out the exhibition area. The history of energy production is explained here, as well as local geology and the formation of coal deposits. You'll also get a better look at the operation of renewable energy systems. The exhibition area is full of historical documents, photographs, and early mining equipment on display. This all traces 400 years of mining history in the area. And you'll see a short film showcasing original mining footage recorded just weeks before the closure of the mines in 1990. And in 2014, this place welcomed its 200,000th visitor.
Nice. Wow.
I was not one of those people, but I could be one day.
Yeah. You cannot be one of those people.
Well, I can be one of the 300,000.
Perhaps.
That's where I was going with that.
I also haven't been here, but I've been to Big Pit in Wales, and I would imagine it's quite similar.
Okay.
And the first place I actually heard about this was from a previous intern by the name of Louise, whose mother was from that area. So she has visited there, and she thought it was genuinely one of the best things to do in Ireland.
That's awesome.
And I've heard a lot about it since, and I've met with them since, and I'm definitely going to visit soon.
Nice.
Yeah, this is totally something that I would want to do, because I come from the coal mining area in America.
Ooh.
So it'd be really cool to compare it over there.
That would be really interesting, yeah. Let's just all go now. Does that sound good?
And we're there.
And we're here! Actually, no, we're not. We are in Boston, and we are talking now about Curragmore House and Gardens in Portlaw, County Waterford. Now, this is a hidden gem that was introduced to us by our dear friend and colleague, Patty, who still needs to be on a podcast. Hopefully, he'll be in something at some point. This is the historic home of the 9th Marquis of Waterford. The name translates to Great Bog, and it's the last of four castles built by the De La Poor family. This is a beautiful example of refined Irish country life. More than 300 years before Columbus discovered the New World, this man's ancestors came to Ireland from Normandy. When you visit Curragmore House and Gardens, you'll find the oldest bridge in Ireland, King John's Bridge, built in 1205 and spanning the Clodagh River. Now, this was built, of course, to honor King John's visit to Ireland. But, the guy actually changed his mind at the last minute before he came, and they had this bridge all ready for him and everything. The nerve, right? Can you imagine?
Yeah.
In true royal fashion, the bridge features stone walls that allow workers and other common folk to cross the bridge while not getting in the way of his lordship's path. The bridge is still in use to this day. You've heard us talk about the Great Famine in past episodes. Well, this estate features 12 miles of famine relief boundary walls. Perhaps the most striking feature of this place is its courtyard in the front of the house. But there are some other highlights, you guys, which I'm about to fill you in on.
No way.
Oh, yes way. You've got the Shell House. Now, Catherine, Countess of Tyrone, is credited for creating this enchanting house made out of seashells. It took 261 days to complete the intricate pattern of shells found from all over the world. Records show captains sailing their ships all over to collect and return shells to Lady Catherine.
She must have been quite the looker.
She must have been, I guess so. I mean, I think she did pay them, but yeah, I mean, how'd she pay them, right? Who knows?
What's her name from the bar? Dirty Nelly?
Yeah, Dirty Nelly! All right, so you've also got the Sitka Spruce here at Curragmore House. This is one of only two remaining trees of its kind, and one of the tallest trees in Ireland. It stands at 180 feet and was brought out from California. Now, you hear a number, and it's kind of hard to gauge, so hopefully this will help you put it in perspective. The Sitka Spruce, like I said, is 180 feet high, roughly, which is half as tall as a California redwood is known to get. But most other trees average in about 50 feet in height every 20 years or so. So that's...
something.
Something. Yeah. That is something. Being in County Waterford, this is a great place to stop along touring Ireland's ancient East.
And we at 50 Reasons Podcast would just like to apologize to Lady Catherine for defaming her character, and we have no proof that she ever engaged in any sexual activities in return for shells.
I'm sure she was a wonderful, classy lady, right? She was the Audrey Hepburn of her day.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
We'll go with that.
There you go. Yeah. So moving on to castles now.
Well, castles in Ireland?
Castles in Ireland, I know. There are a few. I mean, one or two. All
right.
I guess. You've got Dundrum Castle in Northern Ireland, near the Mourne Mountains in Tollymoor Park. Now, Josh,
Yes. This
one might sound familiar to you, right?
Yes, very familiar.
We happened to stop at Dundrum Castle when we were traveling with our wonderful friends Matt, Mike, and Lisa. And it's nothing to spend a ton of time at, but it's something that you can see while visiting the Mourne Mountains. You've got this beautiful, beautiful backdrop. You walk around and you see the mountains in the distance. You see water around you. Everything is green. It's absolutely spectacular. It's one of those old ruins that's free to go see.
And even though the Mourne Mountains is a goddamn mountain range, they could be classed as a hidden gem themselves.
Absolutely.
Yes, they could.
Absolutely, which is why I have that in here. You got it. So moving on to Lepp Castle. This is said to be... Actually, I should ask you, Josh.
Yeah.
What did you think of Dundrum Castle?
The views were gorgeous. Like, yeah. I loved looking out on the water, seeing, you know, the town below. Mm-hmm. And it was just fascinating.
Absolutely. It was lovely. So moving on to Lepp Castle. This is said to be the most haunted castle in the world. Mm. Joe knows I hate all things haunted, right?
Yes.
I love all things haunted. Located in County Offaly, Lepp Castle has seen a great deal of bloodshed and brutal battles. This place was built in the early 1500s by the O'Bannon clan. Before that, the site was used by druids for initiation ceremonies. Of all the spirits and hauntings said to have taken place at this castle, none is more famous than what's known as the Elemental. Dun, dun, dun. Many believe this spirit was placed in Lepp Castle by druids long before the castle was built, to protect their sacred site for initiations and magic. I don't know why I whispered magic. I was really feeling it, though. All right. Thank you for laughing, Josh. You're just so wonderful. Others say the elemental was placed by an invading force to burn the castle from the inside. Now, that invading force could have been Gerald Fitzgerald. No, again. Gerald Fitzgerald.
Thanks, Mom. Thanks, Dad, for naming me that.
I love that. He was the Earl of Kildare. Fitzgerald was something of a magic practitioner who tried to take over the castle on several occasions. They say it only seems to make its presence, the elemental, known when people try provoking it. The current owners of the castle, the Ryan family, have lived there since 1991, and they say they've never felt its presence, but I feel like I would feel its presence. I feel like I should move in there. I think I would have so much fun.
I feel bad for the tailor of Gerald's. Having to go when, you know, he was a young kid trying to find a suit that would fit him.
Yeah.
And then he'd have to go to the parents and go, "I'm sorry, Mr. Fitzgerald, but nothing Fitzgerald."
Wow.
That's really cool. No, put that one on the spot.
Yeah.
I like that. Bad, yeah. Nothing Fitzgerald. Oh, that's good. Wow, I appreciate that.
Thank you.
So, guys, have you ever seen the show Ghost Adventures?
Oh, you're not talking about this shit again, are you?
Yeah.
I'm so happy. Okay. So, you've got this host, Zach Bagans, who's really the hidden gem of the Travel Channel. Okay, so this is appropriate.
But is he like the late night? Because the Travel Channel is probably not that watched.
So, this
Ghost
show...
Ghost Adventures.
The show is pretty big. It used to be on like, Fridays at, like, 8 o'clock or something. This is
so
what I did when I was in high school.
Prime time.
Yeah, right. Yeah, prime time there.
Prime time on a prime channel.
All the cool kids at Boardman High watch this show, okay? Anyway, so he's a one-time wedding DJ turned ghost hunter who wears extra small black t-shirts from The Gap and likes to say things like, "Did you hear that?" He like freaks out and everything. It's so great. Then you've got his crew, Nick and Aaron, who go along with him in these lockdowns of supposedly the world's most haunted places. It's fascinating. Well, on Halloween several years ago. They went live on lockdown at Lepp Castle.
Is this while you were in high school?
Of course it was.
10 years ago?
Of course. Okay. I turned off all the lights, and I had, like, a cup of hot chocolate, and I snuggled up with my blanket, and this was what I
did.
This
is where Caitlin's real secrets come out. when she gets excited.
This was great. So there's this awesome behind-the-scenes video of a very orange Zach Bagans and the guys talking about the history of the place and, of course, the elemental. You've got one of them going, "We just now had an encounter with the elemental, and it's daylight. The three of us are very affected right now." And the one guy's like, "We keep arguing with each other. Do we want to go upstairs or downstairs?" And then it's just like Backstreet Boys meets Ghostbusters.
What a shower of clowns.
It's so wonderful. And we're going to share some clips in the show notes. So, yeah, this one's like, "You know, hands with nails, bro. Grab my ear." They call each other bro, too. Which,
what does any of that mean? Like,
well, I have a clip.
All of them words.
We can watch the clip.
No, I'm okay.
Well, you're missing out, but everybody else should watch it. So, moving on, back up in Northern Ireland, you've got the Stairway to Heaven. This is slightly less hidden of a gem, because it's gotten a lot of hype on social media, but for good reason. It's a boardwalk that allows people to see Quilca Mountain Park, and it's part of Quilca Legnabrachy Trail. Before its construction, the number of walkers in this area was less than 3,000 each year. Today, it's got an estimated 24,000, so it's jumped quite a bit. This has to be one of Ireland's most picturesque walkways, and the thousands of selfies people are taking there are proof. And I don't know quite how to put this into words. It's something that you just have to see. I mean, it is absolutely beautiful. It's just this wooden boardwalk, per se, in this mountainous range, and you just got
up through the mountain
that seem to go to heaven.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm sure when you ascend at the bottom and look up, you can't see the top. Therefore, ergo.
Boom. There you go. Yes. All right. So I think it's time to move on to a fun little segment.
Trivia?
We like to call trivia.
Is it you asking me or me asking you, Caitlin?
You know what? Both are incorrect because we have our most avid listener here. And one of our lovely interns typed up some questions for him. Now, these questions are not too bad. Don't worry. I'll help you out if you need help. I have the answers right in front of me, so I had that advantage.
Oh,
but they're questions based on things we've talked about in the past.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, that's the introduction for you, I guess. Okay. That's all she wrote. That's all I got. So, question one.
Mm-hmm.
What is the name of at least one intern at Crystal Travel?
Sabrina.
You got it. And she'll be happy because she wrote these questions. So she will be delighted to hear that. All right. Question two with Josh in the hot seat. It's impossible to talk about Irish food without mentioning blank. What type of food?
Well, I would go with potatoes.
Nice. You got it. All right. Moving on to question three. Which one of these is not an Irish whiskey?
Oh, geez.
A. Feckin' Irish whiskey. B. Ben Nevis. C. The Wild Geese. D. Michael Collins.
So, hold on a second. So she put in one question that the answer was her own name, and then she recycled questions from previous episodes.
I told her she could do it. I told her, mix it up.
Just making sure.
I told her, yeah.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, considering I haven't heard of any of those, except for, like, maybe possibly one, I'm going to go with the Collins, which probably is wrong.
You're going to get another shot at this, because that is wrong. Another shot.
You're going to have to name them out again.
A, Feckin' Irish Whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
B, Ben Nevis. C, The Wild Geese.
Well, my second choice was the Ben Nevis.
Yes!
Yay! You got it!
Because Ben Nevis is a mountain in Scotland. The highest mountain in Scotland.
Yep.
I knew that sounded familiar for a reason.
You got it. All right. Moving on to the next one. What do you call a person from Sligo, Ireland?
Oh, Jesus.
A. Sligan. B. Sligonian. C. Sligonish. D. Sligoer.
It's Sligonian.
He's good.
Yes.
He's good. Maybe he should take my place and trip. Oh, you think?
Perhaps, yeah.
All right. Almost done, Josh. Got two left, I believe. Okay. What are at least three podcast themes we have already done?
Well, there's the Belfast one, because that's where I'm from.
Well, so that's a we had
okay.
themes.
Oh, you mean the themes. Theme.
Yep.
Okay, gotcha. So, let's see. There was one about food.
Okay.
And then there was one about, historical events, the famine and mm-hmm. stuff like that.
Okay.
And then there is also, counties, which I don't know if that was an actual theme.
Counties,
you went over some different,
what else?
Towns.
Perfect. Perfect. Yeah. Nice.
There you go.
All right. What are the main components of a full Irish breakfast?
Oh, geez.
Also, a full Ulster breakfast is the exact same thing, so.
Okay. Well, let's see. If I remember correctly,
there are three of them.
Oh, geez. So you're asking, the food that goes into them, or?
What would you eat? Yeah.
Okay, well, the one that I'm thinking of, there's beans and toast, sausage, and eggs.
Okay, all right.
But I might be missing something.
You got sausage, eggs, and the other one is bacon.
Bacon, yes.
Yep. All right, sorry, one last one. What is the name of the segment of our podcast that we share the tour for the reason?
The segment name?
Uh-huh.
Pots and Plans.
Yes.
What's next?
Well, actually, Joe, funny you ask. We've got Pots and Plans. And good job, Josh.
Yay.
Josh, you're wonderful. Yay! Pots and Plans for this week is a build-your-own tour with Crystal Travel because we've talked about hidden gems this week. We've mentioned a lot over the past year, and these hidden gems are great to include in a trip. These hidden gems are great to include in a trip with some more mainstream spots, too. Like we say every week, we specialize in customizing itineraries, and we're happy to assist you with any questions you have or any input you would like. This is what we love to do. We obviously spend a lot of time talking about it. We love to talk to you about it. As always, you can find information about our tours at crystal-travel.com/reasons. That was exciting. That was fun. Did you have a fun time?
I had a very fun time.
Joe loved it.
Can't wait to do a day's work now afterwards.
Joe loved it. That's all we have for you today, everybody. We'll move on to another standalone reason next week. We hope you'll stay tuned for reason number 46 coming out on Monday, November 27th. And
which is after Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're going to let you have
geez.
A go.
Not coordinated for this.
That is okay. This reason is going to be another one of our standalones, as I mentioned. And now if you would give us a little drum roll, Josh. Reason number 46 is because it's Christmas.
Ooh.
I love Christmas.
Interesting. Now, I can't help but notice you said because it's Christmas is coming out on November 20-something? 27th?
Yeah.
It's not really Christmas at that stage. Why are we releasing that episode then? I'll tell you why. Because it's a great time to travel to Ireland for Christmas markets and stuff.
Oh,
yes.
I haven't been to any Christmas markets.
But we'll delve into that much deeper next week.
Absolutely. And that's when the Christmas season kicks off, really, is right
also
after Thanksgiving.
True.
That would have been my answer. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. We want to remind you to subscribe, if you haven't already, for more episodes on Apple Podcast. And please... Please give us that 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, everybody. Until next time, it's been so fun having you with us, Josh.
Oh, thank you. I had fun.
Until next time, everybody.
Slán a while, yeah.